The best new music from around the world. This is 2013
on Triple J.
Richard Kingswell with you tonight. The Paper Kites, the Melbourne five-piece, have whacked out a couple of EPs up until this point of their career, but they're in for big times with the release of their very lengthy debut album. It's called States. They co-produced it with acclaimed producer Wayne Connolly. It's got 13 tracks on here. It's a really hefty listen, but each of the tracks are just stellar. They've really put together a fantastic debut album. They've got good times ahead. They're doing a national tour of their own in September, playing the biggest venues they've ever done. Then they're off to the States at the invitation of City in Colour, and they're going to be supporting City in Colour around the United States for a couple of months. I spoke to Sam Bentley and Christina Lacey from the Paper Kites this week. They're the two members of the group who pretty much started this outfit, and I asked them how they met.
Sam and I met in high school, really. We sort of met through friends and started doing some music stuff together, Year 12 music stuff, and yeah, it kind of went on from there. We started singing together and a few people told us we sounded nice together.
So were you both studying music in Year 12?
Yeah, we were at different schools but both studying, so
she asked me to help her with her Year 12 music assignment.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't play guitar at the time, so I was kind of in need of a guitarist, and Sam played for me, and we started singing together and quite enjoyed it, and yeah, sort of went from there. I'd sort of sung for as long as I could remember, and I was, yeah, just doing vocals in music, and then sort of once I started doing music stuff with Sam started teaching me guitar.
So when you both started singing together during Year 12 and working on each other's projects and doing all that sort of stuff, was there something that happened really, really quickly for you that you just went, wow, this sounds really good together?
We always enjoyed singing together. We'd always had friends sort of say, oh, you know, we really like your music, but we hadn't really given it much thought. I think it wasn't until we sort of applied for this local festival that we got a bit of a band together, and then we just had some good feedback on it and decided, oh, you know, let's keep exploring this.
I think vocally as well, we just had a lot of people sort of saying to us, oh, you guys sound really good together, like you seem to blend so well, and heaps of people always used to ask us if we're brother and sister because our voices sort of seemed to have the tones really blend well, so that kind of, I think, encouraged us to keep singing together as well.
Yeah, and did you both like the same sort of music?
I think Sam over the years definitely educated me in in a wiser taste in music.
You were young and foolish. Young and foolish.
All right, Christina, how bad was it to reveal all?
Well, I was a dancer in high school as well, so I was into a lot of sort of dancey music, quite a bit of R&B, and pretty different from what I listen to now. Now I think I'm...
We're a bit more on par now.
Yeah.
What sort of jazz dance, or is it modern dance?
Nah, I kind of... growing up, I did calisthenics, which is really big in Victoria. It's not so big.
Until you were 18.
How did this get brought up? Yeah, so I did calisthenics, which is kind of like... It's a mixture of ballet and gymnastics and crazy dancing. And in Year 12, I sort of... Music and dance were my two sort of subjects that I focused on the most.
Yeah. Every now and then, she'll rip out a pirouette on stage.
I was going to say, it's probably not put to much use during the Paper Kites set.
Not really.
Or is it?
Like, in practice sometimes, but not really on stage.
Let's talk about the making of this debut album as well. It's called States. I actually heard that you tried to make this record when I think you did the last EP. You were thinking that that was going to be the recording sessions for the album. Why did you not sort of do it that way?
We were sort of talked into holding off on the album. I mean, we sort of had intended to do it last year, but I think it was a case of we just wanted to build our live circuit a bit more and get the music out there just a little bit more before we felt it was time to, you know, put a full length out there. There were so many songs that were written between then and now which wouldn't have made it on the record if we had decided to do it back then. So, you know, it obviously ended up being the right decision. Almost all of it was sort of written almost in a sort of 3-week period.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Sam's a bit of a freak.
I mean, we had a lot of demos sitting there. We sort of had built up, I think it was sitting around the 40 mark or something like that. But a lot of those, you know, sort of 10 or so came in the last, you know, 3 weeks before we started putting the album together.
Did that throw the band at all, Sam?
Well, we sort of had a bit of a night where we kind of sat down and listened to everything and kind of decided what we thought would be best to work on. I mean, I tend to work like that and the guys are pretty okay with it. Like, I'll just say, oh, hey, I think there's more songs that need to be written for this album, so I'll just go away and write them. And at the end of the day, it's just really about picking the best songs for us, no matter how old or new they are.
We sort of had a bit of a period sort of after Sam had done this big chunk of writing in like the rehearsal studio, yeah, going through the songs and workshopping them and I guess, yeah, making them kind of turn from Sam's songs into the Paper Kites song.
Yeah, sure. So were you hearing anything, Sam, in the songs that you had at that point? So you've got the album session booked, you've got a bunch of songs already, but then you decide to write a whole bunch more for the album. With those older songs, were you hearing something lacking, or do you feel like the band was kind of moving into new territory and you needed to reflect that?
Yeah, I think it was probably a bit more of the latter. A lot of the old demos already did cover a sort of wide stylistic range, because that's just the way I write. I feel a little bit trapped when I'm kind of limiting myself to one style. But I think at that time we sort of had all those songs sitting there and I felt like there was a little bit of a new sound that I wanted to get out, and that's was sort of the main motivation behind going away and writing a little bit more. And most of the time I'd just go away with the acoustic guitar and just write a few songs that way. But this time I took like absolutely every single instrument that I had and just brought it to this a friend's property and set everything up there, and I sort of recorded everything as I wanted to hear it. Like, I put, you know, the drums in as I heard them and all the other parts, and I think it was a bit of a shift in what I'd been listening to and just focusing a bit more on you know, the arrangement component to a song and layering and interesting textures and stuff like that. I think I just wanted to put a lot more of that in the songs, sort of start with the skeleton of the song, but then really work in what it could be and not just sort of settle for a stripped back thing, but actually put some really interesting sounds in there.
On Triple J, Sam Bentley there, and also Christina Lacey, two of the core members of the Paper Kites, having a chat about the making of this album, States. Let's hear a track in full right now. This is the opening track to the album, which is set for release at the end of the week. We're speaking to Christina Lacey and also Sam Bentley from the Melbourne Five Piece about the making of this album. We're going to get to Sam writing for Christina in just a moment and how he manages to do it and why she is directed to sing a certain way for those songs. But before we get to that, let's talk influences on this new album.
I mean, I've always had a real love for cinematic music and the use of, you know, orchestral instruments in songs. I had always wanted to bring in a little bit of brass and horns and strings and stuff like that. But, I mean, at the time I was sort of listening to even sort of bands like Elbow and the Sigur Rós stuff. The key was to be able to build up these songs and make them interesting, but not overkill it.
Are we talking about all traditional instruments as well? Are there any strange instruments that make an appearance on this record?
There's a lot of weird instruments, yeah.
So what are we talking about?
We used a harmonium on one of the songs, which is sort of like almost like an accordion, but it's an Indian instrument.
It's like looks like a little piano,
yeah.
But then it's air-powered like an accordion, and it actually got shipped in for us specifically, which is awesome.
We sort of mentioned to Kai in the studio that, oh, you know, have you got a harmonium? And he said, oh, no, we don't have one, but I can get you one.
Yeah, 2 days later, he'd shipped in this harmonium from India. It was amazing.
You had to, well, there wasn't one locally.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just sort of what Kai's like. He's like,
if the studio doesn't have one, we'll get it.
Yeah.
Which songs or song does it make a major appearance in?
That one, it's in Portrait 19. It just sort of sits under all the strings and clarinets and stuff like that. I remember in Living Colour particularly, we used a lot of weird noises to sort of experimental things. And we got Doug, one of the viola players, Aru, and it's one of those Chinese violins. And it wasn't the best Aru, and it was kind of old and weird.
Does it have four strings like a violin?
I think it's only got two. But yeah, he got this great sound out of it. You can hear it in the bridge section. But just a lot of weird things. Wayne's very experimental in that way. He's sort of like, yeah, let's just try this, let's try that. And yeah, he's a funny guy to work with.
He's got a great sense of humour, but he's also got such a huge musical brain. He's been doing production for a long, long time now, working with some really sort of key artists. I know he co-produced the record with you guys. Was he there to act as a moderator, or was he actually part of the directive process of it as well?
The great thing about Wayne is he's quite a quietly spoken guy, and you sort of forget that he's kind of got all these arias sitting on the shelf at home. He has this amazing ability to kind of pull sounds out of anything he's recording. So he'd sort of sit there, and he did come into this recording, and he already listened to all the demos, and he already knew the songs that he loved, and that kind of really helps to have, you know, a producer that's actually excited about what he's about to do. So, yeah, he kind of just sat back and let it happen. I mean, there were songs that he was a bit more passionate about. I mean, there are a few songs, one in particular I'm thinking of called A Lesson from Mr. Grey, which was a bit of an odd track. We thought, that's not going to be on the record because it's just ridiculous. It doesn't sound like us at all. But Wayne loved it, and he really pushed for it to be on there.
He's probably the main reason that.
Yeah, he really is.
Well, that's good, because that's actually one of my favourite tracks from the record.
Oh, great,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully he's got a good ear as well. But it's very rare that Wayne would insist about something. So you sort of know that when he does feel strongly about something, that you should probably do it.
Yeah, you should probably listen to him.
Let's talk about inspiration behind a song like A Lesson from Mr. Grey. Tell us then about the songwriting behind that, the meaning of the song, and who or what is Mr. Grey all about?
Wayne actually asked me the same question, but then I said, do you want to know? And he said, actually, no, I kind of don't know. So, Wayne, if you're listening, then turn your radio off. that song came about just from obviously the Oscar Wilde novel and the story of Dorian Gray. Just the whole notion of what you look like internally versus what you look like on the outside, and that everyone in their own way is kind of pretty ugly.
Wow.
Yeah. Be cool.
I was starting to feel good about my day, but not anymore.
No, but I mean, you know, I think it's something really human. So that was sort of where the song came from.
One final question I've got to ask both of you as well is, it still seems like, Sam, you're doing the majority of the songwriting on your own. How do the songs that Christina does the lead vocals on, how do they work themselves out? Or Christina, are these your songs or part of your creations?
It's really funny because Sam and I are really close, and so it's funny that singing those songs, it feels like I wrote them even though I didn't, and most of those songs that I sing are pretty much about my life. Sort of thing. Yeah. So like Sam's written them kind of like about my experiences or my relationships, which for me is really helpful, and I think it's a really different thing to just singing a song that might make your voice sound nice too, like singing a song that actually has personal significance for you.
Oh yeah, that's really interesting. Sam, what's that process like, trying to write songs but do it from a perspective of someone else, or, you know, basically what's affecting someone else? Do you find that easy as a songwriter?
It can be really hard. I mean, most of the songs I write, I try and write from a personal perspective, just because I think it's the most honest way to write, and I feel like I can't sing something unless I'm connected to it in some way. But I mean, with Christina's case, like she said, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and so whatever's going on for her, does affect me in some way. And I feel like I can write it and get inside her head because I know how she's feeling.
I think we just know each other so well.
Like, yeah.
I think we think in a very similar way, and we just know each other very well, which has its pros and cons being in a band together because we fight all the time.
Yeah. Oh, so there's dark sides as well.
Well, it's kind of like that. I always say it's like that brother-sister, like we can kind of like be brutally honest with each other sometimes and it gets us in trouble. But at the same time, the upside of that relationship is that those kind of things, you know, last half an hour or whatever, and then it's usually me being like, can we be friends again?
I want to go out with maybe In Reverie, which is a great... Look, that melody line in Reverie is just fantastic in the chorus. Oh.
I love it.
Isn't it just great?
Yeah. When Sam showed me that song, I was so excited. Actually, Sam was going to be singing it. When he suggested that I sing it, I was so stoked.
Yeah, it's a really great, powerful moment from the record. Once again, sort of, you know, the sound of the band sort of beats up a little bit on that track. When did you write this one?
That was another one that was written when I went away to this property to do this writing. And I remember being in the studio with Christina trying to record this song.
Oh, wow.
And we spent so long on it. We thought we had it, and then we listened to it again and said, like, no, I don't think we have it. It was more me, like, cracking the whip on Stina just because I knew she could do it, because I think sometimes I even can know her voice perhaps better than she thinks she might.
And me and Wayne were kind of like, dude, what do you want?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what do you
yeah.
want from her? Like, yeah. what do you want from me? But we got it.
Yeah, we did. It started getting really experimental at one point where we were just standing in this big empty room. And I was sort of on the other side with my guitar playing along just so the microphone wouldn't pick it up. And she didn't even have her headphones on. It was just like we were trying to practice.
Yeah, it was trying to, and I think mentally I was like, oh, I just need to get out of my head.
Because you psych yourself out as well, yeah. But that was one of the takes we ended up using. I finally heard it. I think it was just once that I was like, that's the one.
On Triple J, Sam Bentley and also Christina Lacey from The Paper Kites having a chat about the making of their debut album. We're going to hear that track In Reverie in full right now. I'll run through their touring details in just a moment as well.